We'll also be checking out what's happening in the English Premier League there. Arsenal beating Bournemouth by 3-0. City beating Wolves by 5-1. Chelsea hammering West Ham by 5-0. And also, the biggest talking points in Chelsea now is Nicholas Jackson. He had a tumultuous time at the start of the season, but now he has 13 goals to his name. Jackson, promising young striker, or just one of those bullish strikers who just get their way in the English Premier League. We'll be talking a lot about Nicholas Jackson tonight. But not just him, Real Madrid have also clinched their 36th La Liga title, and also should Ancelotti be considered in the greatest of all time conversation, we'll be talking about that as well. So let me introduce my guest in the studio, Kelvin Owusu-Ansah is here, Joel Boate has joined the team today, and Dore Kwampofu is also here. Gentlemen, you're welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah. Merci beaucoup, monsieur.
I am going to start with the relay team. And just how disappointing their performance was last night. Kelvin, let me give you a chance to talk about the relay team.
I think yesterday everyone was quite disappointed looking at the promise that these guys have held in the last couple of years and months, especially when we know that someone like Fuseni, who's been one of the brilliant chaps up and coming, you know, we saw him at the Africa Games and he held lots of promise. Someone like Botiu, you look at the world's fastest times this year in 100 meters and, you know, he's up there. And the experience of the two, Joseph Polamo and Benjamin Azamati from the African Games back in Rabat and then through to the World Championships and now, we're expecting them to at least make a very respectable position. You look at the race and the individual times and it looks like they were impressive with their splits, especially the first, the start, and then the second, you know, person that is Fuseni to boot you. But I think one problem, many will say yes, it may be normal, it happens with the some of the top sides, but how is it that some have been able to master it? I haven't seen the Japanese or the Koreans struggle with baton changes. They almost seemingly try to get it right every single time. Look at the Italians, single, you know, individually. They are not the fastest. You count our the top 10, and apart from that guy who out of the blue came to win the Olympic gold, the rest, you won't even mention their names when it comes
remember,
to...
We don't even remember his name.
Yes, is it Marcel Jacobs or... You know, so it was quite disappointing. And you ask yourself why. Many are attributing the fact that they haven't trained, you know, too well. But I think even if it's a day, you should definitely know which of the arms that you are going to, you know, put the baton in. So imagine if you are in front of me and you want to receive with your right. That means I must try to use my left so that I have a perfect or right, depending on whichever way it works. So you see, just after the race, some of the videos that we saw, and you could see Azamati and Botiu, that was where the fault was. You could see Botiu trying to tell him, I was expecting your eye. Azamati was also saying, I was expecting it. And that seemed to be a bit of misconnect. Is it about complacency, thinking, yes, we ran fast, we've been very good, and then we're going to get it right, or poor coaching? The technicalities, we need to get them right. You may have all the fastest runners in the world, but if that technicality fails you, you're always going to lose it out. And I think it was just so sad, you know. But we have another great opportunity, and I just hope that they'll get it right and then we'll get through it.
Baton change has been Ghana's problem for some time now. The last time it happened to us was in Silesia at the World Relay Championships in 2021. We qualified to the final and we had a really good chance of actually getting a medal. And then the baton change was a problem, so we finished it. And it happened again at the Africa Games. It has happened, I think, it happened also at the World Championships, in Oregon. So, yeah, it's been a problem. But hopefully they are able to sort it out tonight and then they do something good. Joel, you want to have a bite on this issue?
Yeah, just take like 30 seconds. I think Kelvin has spoken a lot about it. For me, I was disappointed. There's a saying that goes, proper preparation always make sure you avoid poor performance. And it's very key. if you watch the race carefully, or even before the race, everyone was kind of happy that Ghana were going against some of these big nations.
Yep.
The competitiveness of that race meant we're going to bring out our best,
yep,
which could prove that we could actually make it if we get to the big stage.
No, we could.
So I watched the race. I liked how we started. The second transition was good. But as Kelvin said, moving into those that have been in the race before, I think the reason for putting Azamati there was because they wanted a switch from Azamati to Jopor to be smooth.
And also they wanted a bit of power in the last few seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was very key for us to have that. I like the way it was. I like the lineup. But I think they needed to prepare well with the new guys that they're trying to run with.
Mm.
The place was kind of packed. The energy was different.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't hear anything. So it tells you that the pressure of the moment was huge,
yeah,
and you have no chance to slip up. So it was just quite unfortunate that happened. And I'm hoping that going into the next one, they will not practice anything outside baton changing, because that's the most important thing.
Well, Oriku, talk about athletics. briefly.
I don't know where all of this expectation came from. To be honest, these guys are competing against the best in the world. I understand, yeah, the baton change can be better, but whenever they run, even at the African Games when they finish second, there's always some entitlement attached to the athletics team. It's almost like we've invested so much in them that we expect them to win. I don't like the tone in which we criticize them, almost like that, the same level like the Black Stars, where we've given them $10 million, $12 million to prepare for. We don't give them anything.
Yeah.
We don't give them anything, nothing. Most of these guys are where they are due to their own grit.
But
they use their sponsorship to even get our team at the Africa Games.
Yeah, and you see, I just think if you find out the backstory to why and how they even got here, you would appreciate them more instead of... I saw some tweets yesterday about individuals and the team not being good enough. I'm like, what? Really? we've not got to that level yet.
I think
if they do well, fine. But if they don't, they don't owe that to us, because we've not given them anything. Nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the only disappointing thing for me, because these guys are sacrificing a lot. Do you honestly think they want to drop the baton?
No.
They don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To train all year for just one moment.
Yeah. And you see, if your own federation, association, your government is not ensuring that as a relay team, look, this team back in 2019, when they broke the Ghana record, showed a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Instead of us to ensure, maybe four times a year we'll make them camp, practice. It's not because of even events, but we need to make sure that we get the best out of this golden generation.
Yep.
What did we do? We went to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not a surprise that they've also become still. Because no matter how talented you are, there needs to be some form of support.
Yeah.
Move on now. And Kelvin, I'm back to you. Your team won today, so you are in a jersey. Kotoko beats Lagos Cities by 2-0. Kelvin, just take me through the Ghana Premier League games before we head into the English Premier League.
Well, I think, it started yesterday. Currently United, beating Nations Football Club, and it was another disappointment.
What's happening to the top two?
I don't know. I don't know what is wrong, because it's all because they think that the others are never going to catch up with them. So I think they are also not pushing too much. The league is just a bit, not competitive, I should say. it's not competitive, sincerely, because
it's like the B class over in primary.
it's quite sad. You look at how disappointing that the team is, and Samatex losing away games, they are drawing at home. Nations Football Club are solid at home. Look at the points Samatex have dropped in the last, four or three games. If they were any serious side winning away, they could have, easily caught up with them. But that is not the case here. So let's go back to the result and then look at how things panned out.
Yeah.
Dreams FC settled for 1-1 draw against Bofokwatano scored first, but Dreams came back strongly. RTU beating Samatex. And you ask yourself, RTU at the base of the team.
Exactly.
How? Defeating Samatex. How does this make sense? A team that wants to win the Ghana.
Yeah. Manchester this is like Sheffield beating City.
I mean,
right?
You get it. How? Clean sheet. 1-0.
I mean, it could happen, but you don't see it happening.
And Swachema started the season quite promising.
Yeah.
Now look at them. They are losing to teams. Look at Heart of Lions. I won't take anything away from Bashir Hayford and his team and how they play.
Mm-hmm.
But Maxwell Konedu and his team started promisingly. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that, come on, this was going to end well. But they also lost to Heart of Lions, who are also fighting relegation.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Stars won, Bechem United won. This game, it's a game of equals. And I don't know what is happening to Great Olympics. Medeama traveled all the way from Takwa. Medeama, who are also dropping points anyhow at home. They traveled all the way to Accra Sports Stadium to defeat Great Olympics by a goal to nil.
Mm.
Celebrating 70th anniversary, but it's not going too well for the Olympics at the end. Asante Kotoko to Legon Cities now. I think Otunfor's, you know, message has really got to the team, and they've decided to, you know, work better. That draw at Takwa, and then now the win at home, good riddance for them. It doesn't take them too far, but at least it's good results. Accra Lions will play later tomorrow, and then we have the Heart of Oak game against Brecon Chelsea on Wednesday, all because there is a traditional funeral celebration over the weekend in Brecon. So that game has been rescheduled to Wednesday. So hopefully
that's a huge one. That's Sam Obodu playing Hearts.
Yes, he's playing against his former team, and we'll get to see how they're going to play. How Hearts of Oak are in tatters. They are just a few points away from the drop zone.
Mm.
Really?
Yes. Before this weekend, they were 4 points.
They're actually 13th. And if you look at the, Dreams, who are essentially in the relegation zone.
About 4 games in hand.
Dreams are on 32 points.
Yes.
And if Dreams win their next game, and Bofakwa and Olympics are able to also win their next game, that means Hearts drop to the relegation zone.
Yes.
That's what it's
And going to like Brecon is a tough one for them, because Samuel Bodu, also realizing that those top teams are not serious and want to get into the top four, would go all guns blazing, you know? I don't know.
Who's that? Is that your bless? that looks like your bless.
We don't have VRs. What are they discussing?
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you see that dive on the floor?
That's a goalkeeper save.
Yes.
And then the referee says he didn't see that.
Yes.
So no red card.
Continues.
So no red card. Nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just wow. Just a penalty and then
incredible. amazing stuff. Anyway,
but like you know, but like how I always say every weekend on the Ghana Premier League, and I'll keep on hammering it. Samantex are top of the league. Five games to go. They are 7 points clear. You think that they've been a massive side,
mm-mm,
but they've dropped 35 points.
Yeah, they've lost 9 games.
35 points, let's break down. That means they can lose 10 games.
Yeah.
Draw 2.
Mm-hmm.
That one, card, there's an extra point to make it 35.
Yeah.
In every league in the world, the magical number for the winner is that you don't lose more than 5 games.
Yeah.
The only, if you like, check. If you lose more than 5,
that's
whoever you're saying. That is why people are lambasting PSG for their poor form this season.
Usually, the metric to check whether, you know, you want to see a league's quality is that the winner doesn't lose more than 5 games.
Yeah.
And for me, I always say it's very worrying. Because at the end of the day, you have to find a winner.
They've lost 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've lost 9.
You have to find a winner.
Nations have lost 10.
So how?
Medeama have lost 10.
And this is the nation side who are unbeaten at home.
And you know the craziest thing? The other stars who are fit have lost 14.
How can you lose 14 games and be in the
That's
top?
That's close to relegation.
Yeah, they are fit. They've lost 14 games. The only team that has lost more than Ediana is RTU, who are at the bottom.
How does this make sense?
Ghana Premier League.
Yeah, it's a curious case. One day we need to talk extensively about it. About just the quality of the league, because sometimes I really don't understand how it works. Really, I mean,
it's bad.
Legon City's lost 12 games.
12.
Asante Kotoko have lost 11 games.
11.
No, but it's crazy when you look at the losing column.
Yeah.
From first to what, 18?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not even 18, to 17.
Yeah.
The difference is 2 or 3 losses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like 11.
So it means everybody can lose.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what it means. 9.
That's what it means.
So you see, there's no distinction.
From the Ghana Premier League conversation, let's head to the English Premier League. Let me start with Yoreku. City beating Wolves 5-1. Now, yesterday, someone told me that when you are competing for the league with City, like, they don't score maybe a 94th minute winner, so you say that, oh,
you know, striking,
yeah, it's you know, a lack yeah, or something. In the first few minutes, 5, then you know that all the hope is lost. Yesterday, look at the time that I mean, they're actually showing the match right now. And look at the time when City put two past Wolves. If you're an Arsenal fan, you say, oh, you're tired. Because you can't watch that. Because you just know that it's going to be a bloodbath for Wolves. But Eric, will take me through the City-Wolves game, and then we'll move on to the others. I'll come to you again for Nicholas Jackson, though. But take me through the City-Wolves game.
I think it's business as usual. And if they do go on to win the Premier League, maybe a lot more people appreciate what Liverpool have done in the past few seasons, competing with such a team, winning the league once and then pushing two of it to the final day. Very close contest, one which at the moment they're even winning the league on the final day, and required a couple of goals from Gundogan against Villa to ensure that City win the league. The thing about facing this season's Manchester City, I think the dynamics are pretty different. In other seasons, last season for instance, they were after the treble. You're looking at the season where they were chasing 100 points. It's almost as if, the truth is, it's difficult to motivate these high-level players if there's nothing on the line, in reality. In principle, in theory, you can say, yeah, guys, we need to win. But what really is the goal? Last season, for instance, whenever they enter the dressing room, they see we need to win the treble on a board. This time around, they know that if they win four Premier Leagues in a row, nobody will ever break that in the history of the competition. Oh, it's something that I don't think will ever happen. Yeah. And they know that they will probably never come this. It's the same way they will never, this same team will never win the treble again. Some things, they happen once in a lifetime, not even a generation. And so I think that's the motivation. And what has played into their hands?
Even Messi won one treble.
What has played into their hands is the fact that if you look at the schedule, they are out of the Champions League. So, for instance, this weekend against Wolves, they would have had to rest players. Last weekend against Nottingham, they would have had to rest players if they had the semi-finals. But now they don't. And
they are resting the whole
week. Imagine this Man City team playing once a week. It's too easy for them.
The whole week they are resting.
The times in which they've dropped points is where they had to shuffle between the squad and all that. But now Haaland is fit, Kevin De Bruyne is fit, Foden is fit. Everyone is fit. And that it just makes it extremely difficult for Arsenal, because this is a different monster that they're facing from last season, where last season they were chasing the treble. Now they're looking for the league first. They can win the FA Cup after. And I think that's the type of motivation that has really spurred them on. Arsenal, if you look at their point tally just this year, if you're looking at their points per game, the pace at which they are winning games and picking up points, this rate is title winning rate. Especially in 2024.
So you know, I was looking at the 2024 form. And Arsenal have lost one game, the game against Villa. And then they drew against City, which is impressive form.
Two times.
It should win you the league.
43 points in that span. And you think you done but City are behind you 42. And you see, that's the crazy thing, because this is not normal. What Liverpool is doing, that's the normal standard. That's actually PL that should be the PL standard. Liverpool have what, 78 or 79 or so. They will probably finish around in and around 80. That's the standard. That's what you win the league with. Because you have someone in Ghana with 45 points who's on top of the league. And someone in 80 is not even in a title race with three games to go. You see, it's just the standards are extremely high. And the unfortunate thing about history is that it doesn't remember who finishes second. And that's the thing about, you know, Arsenal and what I fear for Mikel Arteta. Good team, good squad. If you look at them in isolation, very good linear development. They've actually doubled whatever they did last year. They've actually improved. They've worked on all their weaknesses. They've been next to impeccable. If they don't win the league again, what does Arteta tell them next year?
Exactly.
What do you do?
And you see, motivate them to
the league? You see, the painful part of all of this is that if they don't win the league next season, now if they don't win the league this season, now next season he would want to try Timber and somebody else you know, he will try to tweak the team, yeah, and that could be the team's bane.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll just get out of the title race at all. But
and don't forget that other clubs in the same Premier League are also getting huge sums of money to help boost the squad. That's so okay. So you have a Manchester United will probably
be No.
The title race won't change. It'll be these three for at least the next 3 years. Yeah. The gap is too much.
But if I'm being real, I feel, as you said, Arsenal could break at a certain point, especially if they do not win.
Yeah.
If you remember Liverpool, right after they won the league,
mm-hmm,
it hits them and then they went down a bit, then they had to shake up.
Yeah.
That rebuild process after winning the league is never smooth.
Even last season, it hit them.
Yeah, it's never smooth for Premier League clubs. And I don't know how and why it's like that. You can never take a team from one season into another season and think they're going to dominate again. You have to make changes for you not to be predictable. And that's how it is.
And you know, one funny thing is, this is a season that Arsenal has been able to beat the top six.
Yeah.
They've amassed so many points.
Yeah.
And this should essentially be winning you the title.
Yeah.
No, but Manchester City.
No, you see, the sad thing is that they just had one off day.
Yeah.
And it was one off day because they had a Champions League match.
Yes. Yeah.
So they, you know, like you're caught in two minds. And that's normal for any team
to
you know, to perform poorly in an instance like that. And then just that, you know, it's potentially going to make them lose the title. Yeah. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But I think for City, they're there once again. And this is what they live for. I don't think it will be easy, though. I think playing Fulham, Spurs, West Ham, I just think between City and Arsenal, there will be some dropping off points somewhere.
Yeah.
Between one of them. I don't think it will go to the last day.
So I told Joel yesterday that it's crazy how football works. Because look, Spurs have lost 4 games on the bounce.
Yeah.
Now they play City. I don't think that they would go there and mess around for City to beat them like they do consistently over the years. And there's a reason why I'm saying that there could be, Spurs could be that team that will put the brakes on City. And that would be a brilliant story in the English Premier League. And you know, the Premier League is just about, like,
don't do it.
Crazy stories.
Don't do it.
But it's interesting because Brighton today was in that instance. So yeah. Brighton have lost how many games?
Exactly. Yeah. And then all of
I just
opened my live score. I saw Brighton beat Aston Villa. I'm like, what's happening?
Aston Villa want to win the Conference League. That's their focus.
No, I think they're tired.
They're tired. Yeah. And they want to focus on the Conference League.
Also, because they have a huge cushion. There's 7 points
clear. Yeah, 7 points clear of Spurs. Yeah.
They will still finish.
Spurs have not won in 4 games.
I don't think Spurs can catch them.
No,
Let's
pray for Fulham. Just to be honest.
Yeah.
No, you see.
I said this.
Yeah, just pray for Fulham.
Fulham might be the wild card.
Because look, the last time.
Last season, I think it was Fulham who really nearly hit them.
They beat them 2-0.
When Brendan Rodgers.
They always find a way. That's the
thing. When Brendan Rodgers was at.
Wasn't it that game that Willian scored?
No, it was last year.
They beat
Alan
them.
Alan and then
yeah.
Alvarez.
But Kevin Cottage is
when Brendan Rodgers was manager, mm-hmm, and then that game they lost to Palace.
Yes.
Where was Palace taking the points to?
Nowhere.
Exactly. but they just wanted to spoil exactly. The Liverpool party.
Yeah.
So I mean, if they can do that, that's fine. But it just shows the competitiveness of the English Premier League.
The last game for City is what?
West Ham. If Chelsea are scoring West Ham 5 at home, then
no, they'll beat them.
Seriously,
no,
see, West Ham. Crystal Palace is scoring them 6 goals.
Yeah. They've had a really poor 2024.
Hey.
Really, really poor.
They can't defend, and if you can't defend, you can't.
They've had a really poor.
The way City play, like, you have to be compact.
Yeah.
That's why I think the only. I don't think there's because I think Fulham have 2 wins in their last 9 games. Spurs have lost their last 4 games. There's West Ham.
Unless City have an extremely bad day.
Let me see. Let me see how many games West Ham have lost.
unless Man City have an extremely bad day, because
if they lose, it'll be down to them.
Because even if they draw, that is why yesterday they were scoring all the goals, because they know it will get to a point. If they drop points in a draw, it means should they win their last 2 games and Arsenal win the last 2 games, they'll be tied.
The goal difference.
Goal difference.
Yes.
So that's why they're scoring 2 goals now.
Makes exactly.
Because the goal difference was
so that is why even yesterday after Arsenal's win, you could see the players complaining that, you know, they missed so many goals.
They should have scored more.
Because you need to score more. You never know when City may have an off day to draw. If they draw and then you win the games, the it will be separated by goal difference. And
if City were playing, you see something like Nottingham Forest, they struggled.
Yeah.
If they're facing teams in and there are a lot more teams in and around the bottom three, those teams are the most dangerous to face. Fulham are safe.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to move up or down. West Ham, by the time they play last, they can't make Europe.
They've already lost 13 games.
And then
they are
the Spurs, who can't make top four, they won't finish it, so they'll be stuck on fifth. You can't force motivation. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Because you see, today Liverpool Spurs like this. If Spurs really knew top four was a reality, they'll play differently.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're defeated before the game starts, and they have themselves to blame. That's why I just think that it'll just be a walk in the park.
Have you seen the goal difference between City and Arsenal now?
Six.
It's just six.
Just six, yeah. Six
goals. And City have a game in hand.
It's going to be crazy.
And in that game, they can score six against Tottenham.
No, facts though. Because if Liverpool beats Spurs by four goals, you know, City can. City can. But, I mean, anyway, Oreku, I'm coming to you on Nicholas Jackson. What sort of season has he had as a footballer who has just come into the English Premier League in his debut season?
I always had favour, and I pardoned him a bit because you always have to apply context to football players. Just 2-3 seasons ago, this guy was playing in Africa, and then he was scouted to Villarreal, played one season in Europe, was supposed to come to the Premier League in Bournemouth just last season, I think midway through the season, and then they discovered an injury, so he didn't make it. And so end of season, Chelsea go. But it just tells you that if he had played just half a season in Europe, and a Premier League club was already attracted to him, that should tell you that this guy is really talented. All he needed was just one season in Spain, and he's already in England. And why I was never really worried about Jackson is that I think for a team like Chelsea and the type of football that we play on the transition, we need a striker who does everything that he does well.
Yeah.
With regards to holding up play, stretching defenses, running the width. Just to, you see, Palmer is getting all the space he's getting because of the likes of Jackson.
Yeah. Yep.
This guy would sacrifice, go down the wings, take center backs away, move defenders away and all that. And I think there's something about him. If you're looking at the best defenders in the league, when he met City at the FA Cup, look, John Stones was vomiting just halfway through the first half, just because he ran with him the length of the pitch a couple of times, and he couldn't contain him. Look at Saliba, what he did to him when they met. Look, every defender that he's met, he's going to give you something to think about.
Yep.
And I think that is the marker of a great player. So the question was now, can he score more goals? Because the issue was with finishing.
Yeah.
And unlike Nunes, for Jackson, it's not a case of him being brain dead or taking wrong decisions. Jackson was more or less like overcomplicated. I want to do something so complicated that will show that, like, as they were saying, I can Adrian Kessie.
Yeah.
So if you look at when he had Raya one-on-one, he wants to put her at the near post. Nunes will hit it against the keeper because he panics and he cannot think in that. But Jackson can slow things down. He
Semenyo,
has that composure.
Semenyo will slash it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jackson won't do that. He wants to do senior man things. And that's why I wasn't worried.
Yeah.
Because the choices were good. It was just about execution.
Mm.
So I was even giving him up to next season. Honestly, I never thought he would get more than 10 goals in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But to be able to score 13 in this Chelsea team, that has been undulating all season, I think it's really impressive.
Yeah.
And you see, the mainstream media have been criticizing him. But you see, the only two people who have missed more big chances than him, Haaland and Nunes. If you're looking at other aspects of the game, Jackson does better than them. And so if I'm to choose a striker, in fact, it tells you that the best strikers miss chances. So that's the first thing that we take. So if Jackson is missing chances, it's normal.
Yeah.
But aside that, what's he offering the team? And I think that has been the question that he's answered so well. In your first season in Chelsea, you've managed to score 13 in the Premier League and then 16 in the league itself. That's fantastic.
Right.
And I just hope he carries this on to the next season. Clearly, he's a very motivated individual. Had a target of reaching 15 goals in the league. He's now just a couple away. I pray he doesn't reach it so that he doesn't get satisfied, gets hungrier over the summer and comes back stronger next season, so it doesn't get into his head. But so far the signs have been good. Young striker in England, first season, doing all the things that he's doing. I think Chelsea fans just need to be patient. Because, look, the Osimhen that you go and bring, what different thing is he going to do in this Chelsea team?
Mm.
To be honest.
Mm.
If you've watched, look, I've always spoken about momentum. A couple of seasons ago, Osimhen had momentum.
Yeah.
When you're going to buy a player, you need to separate momentum from quality.
Yep.
Because if a player is scoring on a good streak, you can mistakenly think that he is level A. Meanwhile, he's just a level C guy who's on good form.
Piatek.
Yes. And so, Osimhen is quality. But the 16 goals that he's scoring in Serie A this time, I think that's his level.
Yeah.
Because he's also developing. Remember, Osimhen has not been linear for him.
Yep.
He came to the AFCON, we saw him.
Yep.
He's still a young player learning his craft. He's not a guy who's going to come into this Chelsea team and all of a sudden he'll become a 40-goal striker. He's not. Mm. That 90 million, 100 million they are quoting is only going to end up in disaster.
Yeah.
Those price tags, nobody ever matches them. We've seen in the Premier League, Nunes is still struggling, although he's scoring, just because of that huge price.
Let me go to Real Madrid, 36th La Liga title. I mean, it wasn't in doubt. Mm. We've known for about 5 weeks now, so we are not going to waste time on the Real Madrid title win. The main conversation, though, is that should Ancelotti be considered in the greatest of all time conversation? Joel.
Charlie, it's long overdue if you ask me.
Really?
Yeah. I have always
read. He has one Serie A title. for how long he coached there?
No, but you see, what era was he coaching in the Serie A?
Bro,
oh, are you serious?
AC were the best team in that era, bro.
See, he coached Juventus. At the height of Juventus. when Antonio Conte was there, Peruzzi was there, Edgar Davis. Yeah, exactly.
But beyond, okay, so it's like saying, okay, let's look at Pep Guardiola.
No,
we said Ancelotti.
Isolation.
We said Ancelotti.
Look at him and then make a case.
No, we said Ancelotti.
Because the reason why I think Ancelotti is good is he's that type of manager that knows how to balance things out with both personnel, tactics, and he gives me this feel to the game where he always does things simple. He doesn't overcomplicate stuff. He tries his best to make sure that we are getting the result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can outline the Serie A face.
Yeah.
But look at his time.
How long was he at PSG?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm asking. How long was Ancelotti at PSG? I've actually forgotten, so I'm asking.
I can't remember. Like,
because if he won one league title there, it was just one season.
Yeah, one season.
Just a season. I think
2012. Okay.
I think he won that season.
Just a season or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he won that season. Just once. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you look at his time in clubs where he's been to,
mm-hmm.
even at Everton, which everyone considers as a failure, he still tried to bring the team to a good spot within the league.
Okay, so my producer says Ancelotti has
PSG
six...
PSG was 2 years, actually.
2 years, yes, exactly. Yeah. So, okay. If you had PSG for 2 years, at the height of oil money, mm-hmm. and you win one league title, bro, that's Pochettino form.
No, but anyway, I genuinely rate him.
My producer Prosper Kuzo says Ancelotti has won 6 league titles in 29 years. That's how many league titles he's won. Now, the reason why I'm asking for whether we put him in the greatest of all time conversation is that any manager we put in the greatest of all time conversation has multiple league titles. Multiple in a sense that over 10 or more than 6, like Ancelotti has. So,
it's one of those cases.
His case is the Champions League. I don't know why, the
Champions League.
Yeah, he has to mention it.
Yeah, mention the Champions League.
Because I was getting there. Yeah. But we're talking about leagues first.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you look at the Champions League, that's where all the big teams play.
Yeah.
If he can dominate the Champions League, then you can definitely consider that he's
the greatest of all time says, the greatest of all time, which is like, which is Pep, says that it is more difficult to win the league than the Champions League.
He's lying.
Oh, it's true.
That's what he said.
It's true.
That's what he said.
If that's the case,
he's lying. He's lying.
No, but you see,
if it was easy, went to buy me.
He didn't say it's easier. He's comparing two things. Uh-huh. He's saying that it's easier. It doesn't mean
it's easier.
It doesn't mean it's easier.
So if it was easier, he should have won the Champions
League. No, but I think winning a league.
How long did it take him to win?
No, you see, winning a league title.
Pep Guardiola.
If anything should tell us that winning a league title is hard, is this man. If anybody should tell us that winning the league title is hard, is Ancelotti.
If anybody should tell us that winning the Champions League It's not difficult. Uh-huh. It should be Carlo Ancelotti.
Approach.
And if anybody, how many years has he coached?
Yeah.
And how many?
29 years.
Is it tell you, Ferguson? Yeah. Ferguson was the greatest coach in his era. He won two.
Yeah.
He won what?
Champions League.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So which one is more difficult?
No, but that's what I'm saying, that the Champions League is something that
AC Milan found themselves when he was at AC Milan in Juventus.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He won at Juventus and he left. Yeah. Moved to AC. And he struggled because that was the moment where Juventus were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
There was no way you could beat
his Milan team was good enough.
But you see, you're speaking of a Serie A era where we all know the teams that were dominant there were dominant everywhere they go. Like, if you go to Europe, they are dominant there. Uh-huh. Even the clubs in England, name it.
No, but he was dominant in the Champions League, but he wasn't in the league. That's the thing. He was dominant in the Champions League.
No, I'll always say, to play 38 games and to come out and to win it is more difficult than playing in the Champions. Look, the reason I'm saying that is that the best team always win the league, but not the best team always wins the Champions
That's
League.
That's facts.
I'm a Chelsea fan. Chelsea were not the best team in the world. The last won time, the Champions
once,
League.
Once in a blue moon.
The last time Carragher mentioned it, and then I realized that is the truth. Because, look, he played in that Liverpool team that won in 2005. Kelvin,
there were
you watched that game.
We mentioned the squad.
Were they the best?
The squad here.
Producer, kindly get us the Champions League winners from 2000. Just from
2000.
We'll do that time.
No, you see, the thing is that even if you are getting you Champions League winners from 2000.
Mm-hmm. Manchester City were in the best last year.
No, they were.
They won it.
City were the best last year. They won it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back,
I think they're outliers in general.
No, but that's not an outlier. It's not an outlier. Too many times.
We're Spurs the best team. We're Spurs one of the best
Champions
teams.
Final. Dortmund are in the semi final. Could get to the final.
See, we're Spurs one of the best teams.
Inter Milan fell in the draw last time out.
It's a cup competition.
It's not about. So if it was about the truth, if Inter, Caps are Inter and Atletico.
Yeah.
If Inter and. Yeah,
Caps are more difficult.
No, it's not about being difficult.
If you play 38 games, if you lose one, you can win 3 and.
Listen to the context. The thing about the cup competition is that there's so many things can go your way.
Yeah.
Look, you can fall in the friendlier side of the draw.
Yeah.
You can nick an away goal.
England fell in the league
that you have all the best players and you'll be beating
the
smaller clubs with less quality
as well. Why Pep can win with Bayern,
trashing Sheffield and Tottenham and the rest.
Champions League.
He gets to the Champions League. He missed quality and then they match him boot for boot.
How many years was Ancelotti at Bayern?
I think 3 years.
And he won one league title.
Yes.
Yeah. If it was that easy, he would have won more. You see, that's what I'm telling you, that if anybody is the clearest evidence of why winning the league is hard, it's Ancelotti. Because he's always had the best players at every club. Always. Trust
Not
me.
Not every club.
Which club
this
has he had the best
this
players?
This season doesn't have the best players.
Who? Who? Real Madrid.
With Nacho.
Real Madrid.
Nacho.
Are you serious?
Militao.
Are you serious?
No. Let's do a comparison of the Manchester City team and what Ancelotti has.
Uh-huh.
Like for like. Let's
no, up. But we are saying that.
If Real Madrid win the Champions League, it's not because they're not the best team. They've dominated La Liga.
Yes.
And if they win it, it's because they're the best team in Europe.
Yes.
There's always that. Look, Real Madrid played the best football in La Liga this season. Do you agree?
It's not a case that they want to finish eighth.
Uh-huh. Eighth in La Liga and they've managed.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've been good.
They're playing good.
They're playing good.
Even without the singling out players as a team, they are very good.
Uh-huh.
They are literally the best transition team in the world.
Who made them good?
No, I'm saying before that Ancelotti came, this team was winning the championship.
Exactly.
They're already there.
Yes.
This
is a man, if the Champions League was so difficult to win for Real Madrid, this was the man who came to break it. Not even the greatest Jose Mourinho, who had won with Inter and then FC Porto, was able to do it.
Yeah, when he came to Madrid,
It was Carlo Ancelotti. The stakes are extremely high at the clubs he has won with.
Yeah.
AC Milan, Bayern Munich, PSG, Real Madrid, Chelsea.
Just look at Juventus.
Just look at the clubs that he's been overly dominant in winning those titles.
For those kind of
I'm not even looking at league titles or because you see, Zidane has
more Champions League than some coaches. Yeah. But if you are entering greatest of all time,
conversation, Carlo Ancelotti.
I don't think so. Look, yes, do you think Mourinho is above him?
Mourinho is above who?
Is Mourinho above Carlo?
How is Mourinho not above Carlo?
He took over the team that he took. Was he able to win it?
Real Madrid.
Look at the number of Champions League titles he's won and the number of league titles he's won, and put that of Jose Mourinho, and Carlo is higher.
How many Champions League has Carlo won?
AC Milan has three with them.
He has four. He won one with AC and then the three with Madrid.
So look at that.
Uh-huh. But you guys are also not
four plus four plus four plus six league titles. That's ten.
Yes.
Let's look at Jose.
I don't even have to count.
Let's look at Jose. And you see the mere fact that me, I always say that look, winning with a team that nobody gave a chance is always more impressive to me than winning with.
You love the underdog story.
It's not about loving the underdog story. Look, for a team like Porto to win the Champions League in the year that they did, you mentioned that around the time when Carlo was struggling to win the league, there were so many good teams. How did Mourinho then beat all those good teams to come and be Champions League winner?
His team was good.
Now you agree that when teams are good, the coaches perform.
No, his team was good. I think you're missing the point.
His team was good.
No, but if I'm talking about greatest of all time, I think trophy talk to some extent is not even the first thing I look at. Because some coaches may have more trophies. But I mean, I think you have to redefine an era.
Exactly.
And to me, Jose did that.
Between 2003. To go 86 games. Charlie, 86 whole games without a loss.
I understand. It's that easy.
As for me, I would always say this. Jose redefined an
home
era.
Games.
What?
Yeah, home games.
86 home games.
49 matches unbeaten.
Yeah. Listen. And it's the reason why Wenger is considered in certain quarters.
Look, some people may even rate Wenger ahead of
exactly.
Not because
and,
of
and I don't think that if I'm I don't think that they'll be wrong.
I look at defining an era.
I think if you look at the managers that we are speaking about, the greatest, most of the time, the greatest, when it comes to continuity with competitions, they all have it.
Yeah.
One person has struggled at that. That's Jose. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Oh, but Jose, I just think he's gone past it.
Recently he won with Roma.
He's not that far off. And the thing is, Jose has done it with clubs that you don't expect him to. The continuity you're talking about, Jose won back-to-back titles with Chelsea.
No, I agree.
Broke a 50-year league drought.
Ancelotti with Madrid, what is happening right now?
What's happening?
The back-to-back.
Back-to-back what?
Champions League.
Oh, please.
Bro, it's going to happen.
Which back-to-back?
I'm saying it's going to happen.
No, it was... No. No, it's Zidane who did it.
Exactly.
Zidane doesn't make Zidane any better than anybody else. I think so.
You know what I want to add with what Joel has said? In every era that Ancelotti has found himself, he's been able to thrive.
Yeah.
Whether with huge investments.
Facts.
And that is why I think he's up there. And just like you're saying, he does things with less, complicated stuff. Even in an era where people will come and tell us game pressing philosophy. What is Carlo Ancelotti's philosophy? Tell us.
Carlo is just...
There's a reason why...
I think Carlo is the Italian Harry Redknapp, to be honest.
And he's done it with different personnel. For a manager like that, you would have expected that he does it with, top players, with that ego. But look at what he's done with this Real Madrid team.
It's something I'll always read.
We are speaking about
the top four is Alex Ferguson, Jose, Pep, Wenger, in no order. So you can fight over the fifth for Carlo. But
Alex
that's the
Ferguson,
four.
Who?
Ferguson, Pep, Jose, Wenger. That's the top four in world football.
Pep, Jose, Wenger.
No order.
Yeah.
No order.
Carlo Ancelotti out.
No, I'm saying you can fight for fifth. If you want to extend the goal conversation to fifth.
Ancelotti.
Nobody's true.
Ancelotti stays up there. Pep can be fifth.
It's true.
No,
How do you rate Pep over Ancelotti?
No, Pep is ahead of Ancelotti.
In terms of what?
In terms of everything.
Ancelotti comes to hold this Manchester City team?
He would have won the Champions League. No, but the thing is, even Pellegrini won the league at City. That's what we are talking about.
Pep hasn't done anything extraordinary.
He actually has.
Ancelotti to the club that he's at, somebody won Champions League back-to-back. So if he wins this year,
it's not impressive.
So that is why Pep will leave the top five. Zidane gets in there.
Oh, Zidane gets in
there. I read Joachim Low, Diego Simeone, all of them are ahead of
Zidane. What has Zidane?
Okay, the Bosque is ahead of Zidane.
Wait.
How is the Bosque ahead of Zidane?
Yes.
Why not?
To win the World Cup. You think to win the World Cup and then you...
Spain hadn't won any trophy. And he came one World Cup, one Euros again.
Let's not forget Luis Aragonés was the one who won the first Euro.
Yeah, fine.
So don't give it to the Bosque.
Aragonés
under 20 side that moved to win that 2008
Anyways, he has given the platform. Diego Simeone, all of us, Zidane.
When the players had matured,
Zidane, they were in their prime.
Exactly,
Zidane. If someone will himself get here, you said.
Zidane, if he can be
unemployed for so long.
What are you talking about?
He's on a break.
Break for how long?
Break for Papa.
Someone, you should come again.
Come and do it.
If you're listening, Zidane, look at me. Come again.
Even Roy Hudson. Roy Hudson just stopped. You, Zidane, are you older than Roy Hudson?
He'll come back.
He should come. We are waiting for him.
You come back. Why isn't Pep Guardiola going for Manchester United? Uncle Faye. Uncle Faye, you know, family.
But you see, Charlie, sometimes you have to also line your path properly. I think that's what Pep has done. But you can't take his records away from him.
No, but you see, I don't take anything away from Pep. Mm-hmm. I just don't like him. You understand? I just don't like him.
I know, but I think enough.
But I think what he's done is impressive.
What has he done? That is new.
No, but Kelvin, he's about to break a record.
Which record?
If Arsenal lose the title, he's about to create something that has never existed.
Yes, until he does that.
Okay. So if he ends up winning the...
I'll consider it.
No, it's not this season that will change anything. If Pep retires today, he's in the top three combo.
Top three? Bro, for what?
Chale, is it not only... Look, if you are looking at trophy talk, he's there. If you are looking at tactics, he's there. If you are looking at redefining errors, he's there. If you are looking at influence and impact...
Redefining which era?
Oh, come on now.
No, which era?
Come on now.
Which era?
When Pep came 06, 07, 08, 09. Who brought Tiki Taka to the 21st century?
You boy.
21st. Hey. No, it was already there.
You boy,
no.
Disrespecting.
It was already there.
You were disrespecting Vicente Del Bosque.
We didn't disrespect. Uh-huh. It's your point. You were going to.
No, he says Zidane is better. Yeah, give me. Zidane is better. Let's go.
Realistic.
Look, winning the World Cup and winning the Euros back to back.
Yeah.
You know that doing that thing is not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. Because number one, how do you motivate your team, you know, to win World Cup and then motivate them again to go back and win the Euros and then come? Bro, it's not an easy thing to do. And the thing was that number before that, he had won the Champions League.
Okay.
He had won the Champions League. That was in 2000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the thing. I'm telling you that Vicente Del Bosque is not one of those coaches that
Zidane
you can guess.
Will take France. They win World Cup and Euros.
Thank you.
You want Zidane to win, then Pep Guardiola should go and take Spain and win. When he went to Bayern Munich, if it was good, he would have won a Champions League.
Why?
So what, sir?
He said, they give you everything you want.
Exactly. So you see, you are drawing parameters that some...
No, relax.
So coaches will...
When Carlo went to Bayern,
Vicente Del Bosque. Let's
go.
La Liga titles. 2001 mm-hmm. and 2003.
You already passed it down.
La Liga title. Yeah.
2001, 2003.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Supercopa España.
Ah.
One.
Me feel it. Zidane was
Copa, Copa trophy be there. 1994.
Yeah, open for me.
UEFA Champions League. He has two.
Aha. Zidane has one. Three.
Now he has UEFA Super Cup one, Intercontinental Cup. You remember Intertoto Cup? He has one.
Go Intertoto.
So you no, you know Zidane hasn't coached any national side.
Yeah,
no one.
But you see, it's not just about the national side.
How many years?
You see, I'm saying Zidane's CV is not good conversation.
How many years of coaching?
It's not just about the national side.
You want us to strike the average?
At Real Madrid, Del Bosque won.
Zidane won at Real Madrid.
No, Kelvin. And I'm saying that Zidane's CV is not going to any. It's not going to any conversation at all.
Back. No, but you see, that's not greatest of all time.
That is why Zidane is not top there for me.
Listen.
Carlos stays there.
No, if Zidane is Zidane shouldn't be considered as one of the top coaches. Yeah.
Carlos will be top five.
Carlos stays.
Greatest of all time, they know.
You boy, you should say we know if you remove some Wenger from inside.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not about being real.
We are talking about stuff like this.
The thing about
this guy, I get one X number of trophy. Who history remember? Charlie, see, there's something about history defining an era.
It'd be serious.
Don't remember him in isolation. Don't remember him in isolation that he came with one.
Yeah, exactly. You understand?
Wenger didn't even need to win anything else apart from that gold, that golden trophy, and what he did in the league at that time.
Look,
with the resources and the context.
Okay,
I think stays off.
Joe, listen.
Stays off
the top five.
The thing.
The parameters are really certain.
The thing is that. Look at where he picked Arsenal from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And look at the kind of football he made Arsenal play by the time he was leaving.
Yeah.
That is the first thing. You know, Arsenal were the most boring team in the league before Wenger took over. They used to call them boring, boring Arsenal. Yeah. 1-0 to the Arsenal. They just score one and then they defend to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wenger came back, took them, and look at the kind of football Arsenal have played, even how many years has Wenger left. Yeah. And they are still playing that kind of football. It is not what Arsenal is doing now is not something that Mikel Arteta has said, I want you guys to play. It is a philosophy, a chain reaction from Wenger. Mm-hmm. You understand?
So Guardiola copied. So it was Wenger.
What is your Guardiola card? Guardiola.
He copied Wenger. Yeah.
Please, we reinvented Johan Cruyff.
Who?
Johan Cruyff.
Then George Graham did it.
Yes. Anyway, George Graham was bad. Come on for
that. No. The W formation.
Hey, please.
It wasn't bad.
George Graham was.
He's one of the coaches that have happened to us.
George Graham was the coach who was at Arsenal and was sacked, and then they brought him back. Why you be like
Pat,
that?
Pat. Pat was handling the team. Pat Rice. He became assistant to Wenger. No, and he wasn't even sacked though. He was devoted.
No, but you see, Zidane has to come back and do it to another team.
No, exactly. Yeah,
he has to show that he can do it again with another team.
It's true.
Because you see, all the guys you have mentioned, maybe apart from Wenger, they've all done something else.
Yeah.
And Ferguson.
Oh, Ferguson did with Aberdeen.
He did it with Aberdeen. Yeah. And you see, the mere fact that...
Wenger did it with Red Diamond.
You see, what was I even going to say? I think that, you see, this conversation, and the reason why a lot of people try to, like, disrespect Mourinho, and I don't understand...
Jose, they're the top five there, he's there.
You can't
change him, but Guardiola can stay off that top five. Hey, Jose with Roma.
Yeah.
Jose with Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Jose closed the gap that Guardiola was actually separating Real Madrid and Barcelona.
If it wasn't
Jose at Chelsea.
Like Pep Guardiola.
Jose at FC Porto.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Hey. It's true. Mourinho, I think he's just
it was one of the best decisions Madrid took at that time.
You know,
it was a pivotal time.
Yes. He break that gap.
Yeah.
But Guardiola, there was no difference going to Germany to go and follow Bayern Munich footsteps, winning the league.
Pep admits that Bayern, everything was given him, but he just can't tell why he couldn't win the Champions League.
Yeah, but that's
why he will tell you that it's easier to win the league.
Pep, Jupenkins rates higher than
anyway.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, let's do the Champions League quickly and then we can go. Yeah. So Dortmund PSG, Dortmund leading 1-0 into the tie, and then Bayern Madrid 2-2. Joel, I'll start with you. Dortmund PSG, how do you think it will go this time around?
But anyways, Dortmund PSG, Charlie, PSG haven't been that team. And I've been real about it to anyone that has asked me about PSG this season.
So can Dortmund make the final?
Yes, they can. I actually think they can. If you look at how, I don't know, Enrique is trying to force... I wouldn't say force, but he has personnel from the bench that he's not utilizing properly.
Yep,
and
I think so too.
And I find it like mind-boggling why he always ends up forcing Mbappe to play in a system that he could actually thrive in, but he's just forcing him into positions where he's not getting the best out of himself. And so for me, that's a big issue.
But Kylian has almost 50 goals this season.
Oh yeah, because it's the league. You know,
that means that they are conceding a lot.
And the Champions
because
League.
if you look,
in all competitions,
Mbappe is Mbappe, but you know what Mbappe can do when he's at certain positions.
Yeah.
There's every player and certain sports.
Now, I just think he wants to cut out the unnecessary part of his game and just focus on Mbappe at Monaco. There'll always be that question that should he be a winger, should he be a nine? I think he should be a nine.
Yeah.
Because I think what he has, he can go on to become the greatest player if he focuses on being a nine.
Yeah.
The moment you start to drop deep and add those all intricacies,
and that's what Ronaldo did.
No. Yeah, like nobody will rate you again.
I agree.
Seriously, just focus on goals. Yeah, monster goal scorer. Be there and want to score. All this drop deep, I want to play with the target man. I want to doing keche. Nah, man.
Orego, have you noticed that he tries to let Mbappe play too many passes just to get into the box? I don't know if anyone has noticed.
But that's in Enrique style.
And that is my problem.
Yeah.
Do you get where I'm coming from? I feel there are players where if you want to play that with Mbappe, could help. Gonçalo Ramos could come in and help.
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily force Mbappe into certain positions where you want him to touch the ball so many times and then now.
I think Enrique also finds himself in a very difficult time when Mbappe is clearly
off-minded.
Because you look at him in games, especially even in that quarterfinal game, you could see he was clearly off until the two goals happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's just okay to him that he could probably make history with PSG.
Yeah.
Going into this game, I think he would want to show off in a grand style.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going to come to the party. I don't see Dortmund getting past this head off.
Anyway, Real Madrid, Bayern. The main issue now is that Thomas Tuchel has never lost a semi-final.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going to lose last week, but it didn't happen.
But you see, there's a record with Madrid and Bayern whenever they play at Bayern.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern never lose to Madrid at home. Okay, they've played 13 times, but they've lost once and drawn twice, and the rest are victories for Bayern.
Mm.
Bayern are just strong at home, they never lose at home.
Yeah.
But now they are going to Bernabeu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that's a totally different conversation.
Yep.
Madrid are unbeaten in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
They have a strong goal scoring record in the Champions League. Bayern are now finding themselves in that spot where they can now score and counter and whatever. That's post-knockout phase.
Yeah.
So for me, I think Bayern can actually pull something out. But since you're going to Bernabeu, home advantage is always going to count.
Mm.
That stadium is just too filled with aura and too filled with the pressure moments that I do not think Tuchel will be able to manage.
That's Manorea. You tell you what they did 12 years ago.
Yeah.
No, that's 12 years ago.
Yeah. And you see, you're saying that it's filled with aura and what. Venga led his team to go and beat them there.
Eh.
Yeah.
But
even Tuchel with Marcos Alonso cry, share three goals.
So that's why Arsene Wenger is one of the best. You are there talking like
Wenger,
this.
I think Real Madrid is good.
So if Tuchel wins Champions League, go to conversation now.
Like, we might as well just
have a boot right there. Anyway, give me predictions. PSG Dortmund.
PSG 3, Dortmund 1.
Bayern Madrid.
Real Madrid 2. Bayern 1.
Joe.
Dortmund PSG 1-1.
1-1. So 1-1. Dortmund qualify.
Yep, that's what I said.
Wow.
Dortmund qualify.
Wow.
And then...
Bayern Madrid.
Bayern Madrid. Whew. I'm going to go for Madrid. Madrid 2-0.
Madrid 2-0.
Yeah.
Bayern won't score.
No.
Oregu.
PSG blow those points away. 3-0, 4-0. And then Real Madrid, Bayern go to penalties. Bayern win on penalties.
Thank you.
You will be here.
Thank you.
Coutois is back.
Coutois is back. Yeah.
That's why.
What a game.
I give them
what a game this will be.
Coutois needs to be straight again.
So, what?
Anyway. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Sports Ultras right here on 3FM 92.7. Thank you, Kelvin. Thank you, Joel. Thank you to Ori Kwampofu as well. My name is Yao Ofosulabi. Now, don't